there. Welcome. Come on in. Make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimek, and as I tell you each week, it's a great pleasure to be with you on this show. I love doing the show. You know, before, as I was reading the mass readings prior to coming on the air and recording this, it just came to me what a great honor it is and a great source of inspiration it is for me to do this show. Now, you know, hopefully you feel the same way, but when I get to read these readings and ask the Lord, Lord, what's your message? What do you want me to share? And then speak about them and speak about this message, which I believe the Lord's giving to me. It lifts me up too. So I hope you know how much this means to me. And I'm so grateful that you join me each week right here on the program. This week, we talked about this last week. We're going to focus on the readings, the Sunday Mass readings for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, even though we've been in Ordinary Time for several weeks now, the Sundays, the past several Sundays, have been solemnities. They've been special Sundays dedicated to various different occasions, Pentecost Sunday, Trinity Sunday, Saints Peter and Paul, Pentecost. Did I already say that? I'm repeating myself already. But this week, we have the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as I like to do, if you're a new listener to the program, you may not have heard this before, but if you listen for any amount of time, you know that I like to frame the particular week that we're in within the overall context of the liturgical year. So there are 33 Sundays in the liturgical year, with the 14th Sunday being dedicated to the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we've got technically 34 Sundays in Ordinary Time. We are right now at the 14th Sunday. So what, about a little less than halfway through the liturgical year before we go into the Advent season. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's really hot here right now on the East Coast. It's very hard to think about Advent. We've got a long way to go. But right now, we're going to focus on the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The message that I get after praying and reading these scripture readings is the power of the Lord. We're going to talk about the Lord's power and how his power is often witnessed through very ordinary people. He uses ordinary people as his instruments to put forth his power. So that's what we'll talk about on the program today. I hope you can settle in. I hope you can relax, make yourself comfortable, put your feet up if you have to, whatever you need to do. And we're going to talk about these readings. So right now, as I always do, before we go any further, we're going to turn to our Father in heaven. And, you know, just take a minute to put yourself into his presence. You recognize that you're in the presence of your Heavenly Father, and where the Father is, the Holy Spirit and Jesus are as well. So you got some good company right now, not to mention the angels and saints. So, you know, the unseen world, the spiritual world, it's difficult to imagine sometimes, difficult to remember. That's why it's a good idea to do this, to really, at least I need to do this, to just remind ourselves what we're doing when we pray and to whom we're speaking, because you can't see the Father. And that's challenging. You know, I can't see you either. And if you'll notice sometimes when I do these programs, I talk about you and I say, not in a bad way. It sounds like I'm talking about you behind your back. But no, I'll say, I know you're sitting here and I invite you to sit down and I can feel your presence through this microphone. And I really can, even though I can't see you. And I have to remind myself that I'm not just talking into a microphone facing a computer screen, but I'm speaking directly to you, and I really do picture you sitting with me, whether you're at the table, whether we're in the car together. I just can picture you, and I remind myself that you're out there. So in the same way, I want us all to remind ourselves that we're going to be speaking to God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. This is a big thing. You know, this is a privilege, and nobody needs this reminder more than I do, because I forget all the time. It's so easy to forget. As I look at a microphone, as I look at a computer, you know, it's easy to forget that I'm about to speak to God. So I'll just invite you to join me in prayer as we turn to our Heavenly Father and we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you for being present with us. Father, we praise you. You are Almighty God. You created the entire universe out of nothing. you exist outside of space and time. Our finite minds have trouble grasping that infinite piece of knowledge. We might not be able to comprehend it, but we can understand it through faith. We recognize that you are all-powerful, Father. You are outside of time and space. You were never created. You always existed. You're bigger than any problem we can ever face. We believe that you can see us right now. We believe that you can hear us. We believe that you really care about what it is that we have to say. And so before we even ask for anything, I want to make sure that we praise you, Father, for the power that you have exhibited throughout history, through your creation, the way you work through various individuals. In so many ways, you have exhibited your power. There is nothing that's impossible for you, Father. I know you know that, but I need to remember that sometimes. Father, we thank you for blessing us by creating us. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for sustaining us from the time we were first conceived right up until the present time. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us. We thank you for the gift of your church and the sacraments. We thank you for answering so many of our prayers over the years. Father, we ask you to forgive us if we offended you in any way. Maybe there was something we did and we shouldn't have done. Maybe there's something we didn't do and we should have done. We ask you to please forgive us, Father. And finally, we ask you to give us this day our daily bread. Please give us what we need this day. First and foremost, the grace to avoid committing any sins. We pray that we can have an increased desire to do your will and a determination to put that desire into practice in our lives. We pray for our needs, for the needs of our family and friends, for those who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for all who are suffering today. We pray for our church. We pray for all around the world who are struggling with different problems. Pray for those experiencing poverty or weather-related issues. We pray for those who are suffering from persecution or government oppression. We pray for all those who are homeless or those who are homebound. We pray for those who are struggling with mental illness or any kind of anxiety disorder. We pray for all those who will be traveling in the upcoming days. We pray for all who don't believe in you, Father, those who are in most need of your mercy. And Father, I ask you to give me the words today. I know you have a message for us. I ask you to give me the words. Help me to interpret these readings in a way that would please you. And please open up all of our minds and our hearts to hear your message and to put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and who is our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, thank you. I really appreciate you praying with me. And if you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimak. We do this program once each week, 30 minutes each week, and we look at the Sunday Mass readings for the weekend in question. This week we are discussing the Mass readings for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme that I'm getting when I read through these readings is the power of the Lord. We're going to talk about that. Before we go any further, I just want to direct you to my website if you'd like to find out more about my ministry, if you'd like to sign up to pre-order my latest book, which will be out at the beginning of August. It's called Lord Save Me. You can do that. You can sign up for my daily email reflection. You can book me to speak at your parish or your conference. And you can find out about all of the other books that I have written. All of that can be found at followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. All right. Gonna take a sip of my water. In case you're wondering, I've got a nice glass of water with a piece of lemon in it. It's very, very soothing on the throat. It's not easy to talk for 30 minutes, you know, especially with the heat and humidity that we're dealing with here on the East Coast. It could be a little hard. So I've got my water to soothe my throat. So it's time to begin now. And as we always do, we're going to look at the gospel first. We're going to follow the guidance of the church and let the gospel lead the way. Let the gospel be in a special place of prominence, even among other books of sacred scripture. The gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the church holds these four books up higher than the others, even though they're all the inspired word of God, because the gospels are our primary source of information about Jesus Christ. So it's, you know, and the cool thing about the gospels, maybe you've experienced this, is that even though many of these stories are unfamiliar, are familiar, we've heard them time and time again, when you read them today or in the present moment, they can take on a completely new meaning because they are spoken to us in the midst of completely different circumstances. At least that's what I've discovered. So this is God speaking to us today, which is really amazing. Again, you might have heard this before, but he's speaking these words to us today. So with that in mind, let's look at the gospel for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you. For the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." This is an interesting reading, this idea of the 72 disciples. This is only mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. But you know, here's what I think, what I'm getting when I read this gospel. The Lord counts on people to help him with his mission. You and I, as Christians, as disciples, followers of Jesus, he's counting on us to carry on his mission in the year 2025. Jesus lived on earth over 2,000 years ago, then he ascended into heaven. And it's up to people like you and me, members of his church, to carry on his mission. He didn't have to do that. He's God. He can do anything he wants. But he chose to use us as imperfect as we are. And nobody's more imperfect to do this than I am. But he gives us the power to be able to teach and even to do miracles in his name. Does that happen all the time? No. Because if miracles happen all the time, they wouldn't be miracles. More often than not, the Lord works in ordinary ways. But we do have power, the power given to us when we receive the Holy Spirit. We first receive the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. That Holy Spirit is strengthened in us when we are confirmed. And therefore, we have the full power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And as long as we cooperate with that Holy Spirit, we can do amazing things in the name of Jesus, using the power of Jesus. And I think as you look at this, you're going to see a couple of themes emerge. One is that not everybody's going to want to hear what you have to say, especially when it comes to religion. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that. It's not exactly popular. People don't want to be told what to do. Even if you're just doing it in any non-threatening way, people don't want to hear about religion quite often. And what Jesus is saying, and he reminds us, is that if they don't want to hear you, go to somebody else who does want to hear you. You know, you can't keep speaking to someone who has their ears closed, because it's not going to be effective. And actually, what's going to happen, it's going to have a negative effect over time, because people are going to get annoyed. You know, people are really sensitive, especially nowadays, to religion. A lot of times you hear it, people talk about it, oh, it's hypocritical, it's just a fairy tale. You know, people are nasty when it comes to religion, until they're at a point where they really need God to be real, right? I mean, that's when most of us really pay attention. I know for years I was never hostile to religion. I went to church every week, but I just went through the motions until I got to the point where I needed God to be real. And that's when I took my faith seriously. So you go out with the power of the Holy Spirit, you witness through your words, through your actions. But if people don't want to hear you, if there's a locked door, walk away and go to a door that's open. You can always come back, or maybe somebody else will have the opportunity to reach that person. You know, look, if not everybody listened to Jesus, and it's pretty documented, it's very well documented in the Gospels, that he was rejected by many people. If they didn't listen to him, why do we think they would automatically listen to us, right? A lot of times they're not going to. So what the Lord is saying is, do what you can. I'll help you, but if they don't listen, go somewhere else. Shake the dust off your feet. And then finally, he talks about the 72 returning, rejoicing, saying, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. And the Lord's saying, don't necessarily rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because you and me, we've been granted the promise of eternal life. In other words, don't count this as a victory for yourself. Count it as a victory for the Lord, and you're just doing your job. And let me tell you, that's not easy to do. It's very easy to start to get proud and feel good about yourself, especially when your evangelization work is having some effect. But the Lord's just saying to each of us, Remember where this power is coming from. It's coming from me, Jesus says. It's not coming from you. This is something I always struggle with, I'll be honest with you. Whether it's because I'm getting rejected or whether it's because my work is being received in a good way. I have to remember that they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting the Lord. And when they accept what I have to say, it's not necessarily they're accepting me and giving me the praise. They're giving the Lord the praise. And that's why it becomes easier. If you focus on the fact you're just doing this for the Lord, he's giving you the power, you're not going to be upset if people reject the message, or you're not going to be overly elated or proud when they accept what you have to say. Right? Just keep the focus on Jesus. Remember, all the power comes through him. Let's look at the first reading now, Isaiah chapter 66, beginning in verse 10. Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exalt with her, all you who were mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. And there's that reference to the Lord's power. In the last verse of this first reading, the Lord's power shall be known to his servants. That's what we have to remember. When the Lord works through us, it's not for people to glorify us, you and me. It's for them to glorify him and to be drawn to him. Like, we're just the conduit. We just are the source of his power. But we have to let it flow through us to those we encounter. And that's how the power of the Lord can work in us and through us to reach other people. But, you know, it's not us. It's not me doing the work. It's not you doing the work. Yeah, sure, we're technically doing something, but really what we're doing is we're cooperating with the grace that the Lord is giving us and letting his power work in us. That requires cooperation on our part, but the bulk of the work, the heavy lifting, is being done by him. Responsorial Psalm, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. He changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. Blessed be God, who refused me not my prayer or his kindness. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. You know, all the praise, everything based upon what you do, if you help somebody, if you grant somebody, if they feel peaceful because you drew them closer to Jesus, the praise shouldn't go to you or to me. It should go to him. Again, that's not easy to do because we tend to take ownership of our work. And but really, when you think about it, without the Holy Spirit working in us and touching the heart of the person we're trying to evangelize to, the work's not going to be effective. People are not going to want to hear what we have to say. So we just need to see ourselves as messengers or as salesmen and women, if you want to look at it that way. We're just delivering the gospel message. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens the hearts of those to whom we are speaking to allow that message to take root. And it's good to think about it that way because it's also going to give you confidence. You know, it's not just a thing, a reminder that, well, don't have too much pride in your work. No, it also gives you confidence because you might think, I can't do this, and I think this all the time. What am I going to say to this person? Who am I? I'm nobody. But we're somebody when we have the Holy Spirit working in us. You look at St. Paul, when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, he considered himself the lowliest of the apostles. St. Paul, he considered himself weak. When you look at the guy, what he went through, he was anything but weak. But he knew that his power came from the Lord. And I think that's the message for each of us to remember. So if you feel weak, just let the Lord work through you. He's going to send you to the right people and give you the right words. Put your trust in him. The second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Brothers and sisters, may I never boast. Oh boy, see that? May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule and to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make troubles for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. This is an example of Paul saying, may I never boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ. He understands that it's Jesus working in him, that the message is about Jesus. He understands that when he is rejected, it's actually Jesus who is being rejected. So Paul doesn't take it personally. He goes somewhere else. And that's what we need to remember. We have a job to do. The world needs to hear the gospel message. I mean, do you have any doubt about that? Turn on the news, look around you. It's nasty out there, isn't it? The world needs to hear the gospel message. The world needs hope. The world needs Jesus. And Jesus is counting on you and me to do his work. Now, he's going to give us what we need. And sometimes we will feel like we're not successful, but our work will bear fruit in good time. And if you need an example of that, take a look at the cross and what happened with Jesus. The redemption of mankind, when you looked at that cross, at that limp body lying on the hanging from the cross, the message of Jesus looked like a failure, but it was anything but a failure. It was an absolute success. But in the eyes of the world, not through the eyes of faith, that mission, as Jesus hung on the cross, looked like a complete failure, but it wasn't. So don't get upset if it seems like your efforts are not successful. Again, remember that gospel. Don't keep banging on a closed door. Look for a door that's open, plant some seeds, and move on if you have to. There might be a time when that door is open, or maybe there's going to be a time when the door is open for somebody else to reach that person that you were unable to reach. Just plant the seeds. Don't get angry. Don't get upset if you're rejected. Don't get overly proud if you're well received. Just give the credit and the glory to the Lord for using you as an instrument and for working in you. So that's the message today, the power of the Lord, how he works through weak and imperfect creatures like me and you. Sorry, I don't mean to insult you, but that's the way it is. We're all imperfect. We're all weak when compared with Jesus, right? We're weak. But he can use us to do great things, and he's counting on us. He's going to send you to the right people or send the right people to you. Different people than I'm going to be able to reach. We each have a different audience in our homes, in our workplace, in our schools, in our towns. Just reach the people that the Lord wants you to reach. All right? Hey, I hope you have a good week. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you need to get in touch with me, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I could certainly use your donations. If you'd like to help support my full-time ministry, you can donate securely online by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. Thanks again. I look forward, God willing, to being back with you next week on the show. Bye-bye now.